Vista, episode 290. Punta Vista is a comedy current events podcast that covers news from around the world that's a little bit interesting, but not too interesting. With me, as always, is Theo. Theo, how are you? What's been going on?
Hey, I'm good. I'm excited to hear what news, reviews,
yes,
and blues we have today. Also, episode 290.
Oh, no. It's 390, isn't it?
Yeah.
I was going to say.
I was like, okay. It's like when you see a movie and it's like, oh, this movie's set 3 years in the past and you could barely tell the difference. Like,
yeah.
Oh, this movie's set in 2018.
Yeah. Like, I felt that way when Uncut Gems came out. Like, oh, it's a period movie from 2009.
Yeah.
Was the world that different?
Well, the Weeknd had cultural cachet. So. Kind of, yes.
I think The Weeknd might have cultural cachet now.
Hey? Perhaps even more so.
Quite now. Famous.
What?
Very.
The Weeknd.
Quite a famous guy. The Weeknd.
The guy, he did that mixtape.
Yeah, he did that House of Balloons.
Yeah,
sort House of like of Balloons an underground, mixtape. Sort of like kind of indie rapper. He's Canadian, I think.
And that was about it, right?
Yep. And then I think he dropped off the radar dropped entirely. That's right. You ever see that thing where he went to a Halloween party dressed as one of the Clumps from the Clumps? Whatever, he had like full body prosthesis on.
It's like I'm going to need so much context on this.
You know
this.
The Clumps where Eddie Murphy is playing like a whole family?
Yep.
The Nutty Professor?
Yeah, it's a sequel to The Nutty Professor, yes.
Oh, okay. All right, okay. All right, so he went, I've got a vague memory of this.
I got this wrong. He was just going as the Nutty Professor, the fat suit version of the Nutty Professor, which is just such a good...
It's a great costume.
And he sort of went viral from that.
Yeah, and that's kind of the most famous thing
that's
kind
that
of
what
done.
Made The Weeknd
kind of known for.
It's just not coming up on any of my, like,
any of your
recommendeds
blogs?
Or anything like that.
Indie label blogs.
Yeah.
Why are you called The Weeknd? That's not a name for a man.
Yes. No, but it's missing a letter.
Yeah.
Yeah. Put it back.
Yeah.
We need those.
Can't be called that, The Weeknd.
With me, as always, as well, is Andrew. Andrew, what have you been up to this week? You're always doing something crazy.
You know it.
Awesome.
Well, if he's not going to venture anything, I'll venture something. I've had depression this week, so...
Woo! Woo!
Hit the laugh track, Ben.
Let's go.
Like, is this a new depression?
I feel like it might be a new one.
Oh, that's bad. And I'm
or is it an old depression coming back and it's like a new friend? You know?
Oh, no, I did catch up with my dear friends the other night, and we did talk about old times that were possibly like bittersweet. You know, when you talk about like old times from like your 20s and they touch on something and it's sort of, there's a little bit of kind of nostalgia there, but then there's also a little bit of hurt.
Mm.
You guys ever do that? You guys ever experience your past through
ruefully?
Like... Yeah.
Mm. I've rued some things.
Yeah?
Mm, I just remember it as better than it was.
I think I've been ruining this week.
Mm.
Not, I haven't been ruining this week, but this week I have been ruining
my
past.
You've been doing some ruining.
Yeah.
I only recall things from the past with a sense of deep rage or smug satisfaction.
Yeah. Nice.
Oh, that's nice.
That sounds about right.
Who are you hanging out with?
My friends Sam and Ben.
Oh, it's interesting because usually when you hang out with them, I'm like there as well.
Well, Ben was actually talking about... I mean, it was sort of like a, you know... But, Ben was saying how lovely it is hanging out with you, Ben. So, you know.
But that's how I feel about Ben. Oh, that's delightful. We should hang out sometime.
We should
have two Bens.
A little Ben on Ben action.
Lucy, the three questions I ask you every week.
Yes.
What are we watching? What are we reading? What are we eating?
No, let's not do this.
I know what you've been watching/listening to. What do you tell the listeners, Lucy, what you've been up to?
Yeah, I was hoping I was going to get a what have you been up to, but I guess that's reserved only for Andrew.
Do you
want
to tell the listener what you've been up to?
The one listener.
Been following my favorite band, The Wonder Years, around the country to three different cities. I'm very tired.
Yeah. but you've had a great time.
No one's heard of them, but they're the best band in the world. I've had the most wonderful time. I did a little VIP meet and greet, and I went and met my favorite band. I was just
super nervous. Did you fangirl out?
Yeah, I did. I knew. Now I know what it's like when people come up and like say hello to us because they're like, oh, I love the podcast because I didn't fucking know what to say to my favorite band. I was like, hey. I like you stopped me from killing myself. Lol.
That's a good opener. That's good a really strong opener.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, I just hear Googled that. Don't say that to us.
Mm-hmm. Got the Fred Savage TV show.
They've changed a bit.
Yeah. Since, okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Between these pictures and your Instagram reels, some changes.
Oh, yeah. They're old as fuck. They're a bunch of old losers. That's how you know the band's going to be the best. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, if they've survived long enough to maintain being in a band while becoming old losers, you know that they're like, they're good people, haven't been cancelled, probably.
Probably.
No, they're super, they're great. They're very vocal in Palestine and stuff. They're the best.
Hell yeah. Yeah.
They're rules.
But pro.
Oh, very
they
anti.
Talk about it
they
a
just
lot.
Talk about it. They hate it.
How did that feel? I just thought we'd maybe experiment with just doing like an intro where we're like, hey, how are you?
Yeah, not good. Yeah,
bad, you said that earlier. Yeah.
It's all right. I've just been tired. Everyone's been sick.
Yeah.
I feel like we can only kind of keep the patina of irony, like one single layer of irony. Mm-hmm. It's too few layers or too many layers. Mm-hmm. We can only do that for like probably 5 to 10 minutes at a time.
It's exhausting. I don't know how people do that, like broadcast to voice type stuff all the time.
Yeah.
Being on Triple J has just got to like prematurely wear out the bits of your brain that can like receive dopamine.
Oh, yeah.
Like so early on. That's why they don't have anyone on there over 30 because they're all just burned it out entirely from being really chipper and pretending to be interested.
Yeah, it's gone. It's gone by the time you're like 24.
Yeah. Imagine dating someone from Triple J and they get home and you say something that's not intended to be funny and they do that laugh.
Yeah. Oh, legend.
You just have to get up from the table and sort of pace around for a bit.
It'd be hard to
turn
it off.
You know, accidentally do it sometimes. Like I sometimes find that I will slip into something akin to podcast voice when I'm telling an anecdote if I'm not really paying attention while I'm talking. And I'm like, oh, no, that's terrible. I sound like a fucking dick.
Yeah. Whereas I've never developed a podcast voice, so I don't have that problem.
I didn't want to single you out, actually, but you do podcast voice.
No, you do,
in
actually.
In social settings.
No, you do.
I think that might have more to do.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Weird.
Yeah.
And he hasn't been diagnosed.
So
now,
you're saying that when in social settings, maybe I change the way that I'm acting. Perhaps I...
You don don a sort of a face on sort of a kind.
Yeah, you put kind of something over your face.
There's like a layer between your face and the world.
Imagine a bit of footage playing in reverse, and the bit of footage is Patrick Bateman peeling off his face mask in the morning. Imagine that the face mask is going up and on.
It's going on, yeah.
Oh, that might,
and then
that
I'm
might
ready
be a little
for the day.
Too abstract. It's sort of like in The Mask. If you reverse the part where he takes the mask off
and he becomes like effortlessly social and he kind of like reverts back to the loser.
So, somebody stopped me.
Hey, if we were really serious about dealing with Theo's depression when he says that he had it, we might refer him to a medical health professional. We have our own medical health professional. It's Dr. Lucy, and sometimes when we have a question, we page her.
Yes.
In Paging Dr. Lucy. Yes. It's time for Paging Dr. Lucy.
If you find that you are having a little relationship trouble, just to pick up your telephone and dial it on the double. You call 1-800-317-5155. Now you're paging Dr. Lucy.
This comes to us from r/relationship advice. How upset do I proceed?
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
DEFCON 1.
Getting right to the right to the meat of the matter.
Yeah. Every day
maybe
I wake
they're
up
so upset that they mistype the sentence. Like, I'm so upset. Yes. How do I proceed?
Perhaps.
Yes, correct. How upset do I proceed? Boyfriend, 36, male, revealed to me, 30, female, today, that he lied about having a college degree.
Ooh.
It's a good bit.
I mean, are you employing him?
Yeah. Like, does he need professional accreditation to be with you? We've been dating for about 7 months now. He told me when he met me that he had a degree from a specific school in a specific field. Today, I found out that he actually never finished school.
Yeah, I'm not really sure. Sex scientist at Yale.
From Pussy University. Today, I found out that he never actually finished school. I'm not really sure how to react. I don't want to make him feel bad about himself for not finishing his degree, but I'm also really worried about the fact that he lied about something so essential. And I definitely would have continued to date him if he told the truth when we met. I'm just confused.
Were you perhaps maybe on the night that you met, number one, were you wearing something real sexy and also talking about how you think having a university degree is very important?
Yeah. You said college degrees are hot.
Yeah. Like, did you say that? MIT? Did you say that more than once at the bar?
Yeah, it's probably just that and a lie that's just spiraled out of control because it's like, when are you going to say that you lied about your degree from Pussy University at Yale?
No, accidentally, in like the heat of the moment, because you guys have been chatting for ages on the apps, and then when you finally met, you were so nervous. She was talking about all the cool stuff she does and you let slip accidentally. You didn't really, you were sort of half joking, but then she just looked so interested when you said you're a chaos mathematician from MIT. Mm-hmm. You're like, oh, actually, you know, have you ever seen Jurassic Park? You know, the guy that's wearing the black leather jacket? Yeah, I do what he does. Mm. I'm the Dr. Ian Malcolm of sort of my friend group, kind of, because I'm a chaos mathematician.
That's got to suck, though, saying it one time to get laid and then sort of quickly realizing, number one, that you're in love.
Yes.
You
know?
Yeah, you thought it was just going to be a one-night stand, but just kept on rolling. She kept staying over. You didn't want her to leave, you know?
It turns out
she doesn't wear a bra when she comes over.
Yeah, you got identical taste in movies, and it's really great, but she does keep saying to anyone who will listen.
Yeah.
High distinction in chaos mathematics.
Yeah.
He's got a PhD. It keeps getting every single time.
Yeah. Right, babe? Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah. Yeah,
phase space, strange attractors. These are just the things I remember from Jurassic Park.
Yeah,
working on validating a time cube at the moment. Yep,
that's right. Have you guys ever? I don't know. I think Lucy and Theo, you guys have degrees, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Andrew, do you have one of those?
No, I don't.
Yeah, me neither.
I have an advanced diploma.
Advanced diploma.
I got a Cert 3. In information technology. Wow. So
we're so diverse here at Punta Vista.
Yeah.
I think the more degrees you have on this show, the worse your mental health is.
Yeah, that checks out. That tracks.
Yeah.
I got an advanced diploma of graphic design, and at the end of it, they were like, now you can take this and it will get you into university halfway through a degree of graphic design, or you can just go and get a job and start getting paid money. And I said, bye. Or at least
that sounds great. You don't have a $50,000 hex
dust. The cloud of dust in the shape of my body was their response for a while.
Also spelled out, it did the silhouette of a speech bubble that said bye in the dust cloud. Yeah. Like 20 E's. You guys remember that feeling of like, because I started a university degree. I turned up to about 3 lectures, I think. But that feeling that by the end of it, that you would be like a skilled, just someone who can practice a craft perfectly because you've learned everything there is to know. At the time, as like an 18-year-old being like,
that's what you believe.
Crazy.
Yeah.
And then you meet a 21-year-old with a bachelor's degree in something and you're like, oh, you don't know anything.
You don't know anything at all. Yeah.
I wouldn't trust you to do like anything at all.
Yeah.
Right now.
Unless you meet like a 23-year-old who's most of their way through a PhD.
Yeah.
And then, they have not been outside.
No, and they haven't done something really specific where you're like, hey, can you tell me anything about this one species of lungfish that lives in the Brisbane River? And they go, actually, I can tell you everything about that one species of lungfish.
Yeah.
I don't think it really fucking matters. It's probably not good that he lied. That's probably bad, but like...
That's probably bad, but if it's something that he told you at the start of the relationship, I can see how that could spiral out of control.
Were you kind of like... Were you presenting a body that is absolutely banging at the time? Were you...
Stacked?
Serving it. Were you... Yeah, were you stacked?
Were you stacked doing, at the time?
Did you do cosplay as his favorite character for his birthday, you know?
Oh, because you met at Supernova.
Yep.
You met at Supernova and you had your big titties out and he was like...
You were like, I'm a doctor! I'm a doctor! Doctor of chaos magic. I mean, chaos maths. I practice both. But
I think one of the problems is, unless this is different in different places, and it might be, but generally speaking, in my experience, once somebody, like, you have your qualification and then you go on with your fucking life, and nobody ever talks to you about it or asks to see it ever again.
Yeah.
And maybe that's different for, like, I don't know, if you're in the fields of academia or whatever, but for normal jobs, like, you use your qualification to kind of get into the job and then
you don't really have to. You can just put that on your resume. Nobody asks.
No one calls the university and checks, hey, you know. Chaos math.
Nobody kind of cares about it as you just go on into your life. I think this guy wasn't expecting anyone
Americans
to keep caring about
more.
It.
Are Americans putting their...
putting the degree on the wall?
No, in their email signature, do you reckon they're putting like the school that they went to?
Oh, that's very funny.
Oh, they're alma mater. Like
BSc Harvard or whatever.
BSc Harvard. Yeah. Do you reckon they're putting BSc Harvard in their email footer?
Yes,
100%.
Summa magnum cum.
Cum magnum.
Cum
magnum.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. Magnum cum from Pussy University.
I got my first job as a programmer because someone misread where I had put that I was currently doing a Bachelor of Engineering as me having Bachelor of Engineering.
Yeah.
And I was hired on the strength of that. Then like a year later, I was talking to that manager and he was like, what do you mean you don't have a degree? And I was like, oh, I don't. It said so.
Well, you obviously didn't need one.
Yeah. I mean, I was terrible at my job, but you know, I got that money and that's what counts.
Yeah.
Yes. What you pay for.
Yeah. Sometimes things in life are just happy accidents. And other times, things are unhappy accidents. It's time for the clipping report. A 35-year-old in San Antonio, Texas, was accidentally shot after he dropped a newly purchased firearm he was inspecting in his garage.
Ah.
Uh-oh. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
First day. Just getting your gun out to admire it. I can't believe this is mine now. I've been saving up for months. Whoop, bang.
Guess this is my life.
Yeah.
You gotta take it straight back to the store, right?
Yeah. This is defective, actually. It's too slippery. You can't sell someone a slippery gun.
Slippery gun.
Turns out they shouldn't have given me this one.
A worker fixing a Verizon cell tower on Bureau of Land Management land near Guernsey, Wyoming, was accidentally shot in the thigh by 3 Air Force personnel who were doing target practice nearby.
Oh, my God. Oh, that's awful.
Real trouble brewing kind of picture going on.
A little bit funny, though.
Yeah. Now, I read two articles about this, and in both of them they said that he was accidentally shot by the three of them, which there's no way that, like, all three of them shot him in the thigh. But I think it might be... You know how, like, when they do death by firing squad,
only one of them has a real bullet.
Yeah, didn't it? They either just did, or they're gearing up to do a execution by firing squad in one of the states. There's a whole
and
bunch.
And I'm
of
peeling
shit.
Back the calendar meme here.
Mm. Yeah, it's like that. Like...
Oh, aren't they also going to do like an execution by suffocation? Are they going to do?
Because they've had to find a bunch of different ways to do it because there's been shortages of whatever the gas was that they used. Yeah. They couldn't get their hands on it. But also a bunch of courts, I think, have ruled that some of the other methods are cruel and unusual punishment. So now they're getting more cruel and unusual in the way that they're doing it.
Cool.
Yeah.
At some point, you kind of got to go, like, is that the problem?
Oh,
is it the problem that when you put someone in an electric chair, they scream for about 7 minutes before their body explodes?
Yeah, that maybe we shouldn't be doing that.
Yeah.
No, in Alabama for the last year or so, they have been executing people with nitrogen asphyxiation.
Sweet.
That sounds kind of...
Now, I don't want to get political on here.
Fun.
Yeah, I'd hate to. I don't want to.
But maybe that sucks. Like, maybe that's like a satanic thing to do.
I honestly
would rather the governor got to stand next to me while I was sat in a chair and put a pistol up against my head and pull the trigger.
I think that would be like, I mean, first of all, it would have to be a big gun. Make sure that the job's done, right? Like, it has to like blow
you want,
half
you
your
want
head
the,
clear off.
You want the Dirty Harry 44 Magnum?
Yeah, right, give him Hellboy's pistol.
The guillotine did the job. I don't know why we can't just bring it back.
Capital punishment. It has to be the governor using the Hellboy pistol.
Yeah, yeah. I guess I'm just saying, if the whole point is like, no, we're going to kill these guys no matter what, and we're making a big deal out of it, then you got to get
the governor out of bed.
Just canoe my fucking head in front of the cameras then. If that's
you
what
we're
doing.
You should be able to choose your death method, like you're getting to choose your last meal. You should be able to choose how you're going to die, just like as a treat. Like, suffocated under a large woman, you know.
I reckon throw some novelty ones in the mix. Like, I think you could, look, if we're trying to make America great again, which we are, to be clear.
Yeah.
It's Make America
we
Great Again
We want you to
season.
Succeed.
We do want America to succeed. I don't want to see them immiserated the way that they are now.
Yeah, there's a lot of lovely people over there.
Yeah, beautiful country.
If we're trying to bring in some new sources of revenue, I'm just suggesting that I think a bunch of people would be willing to put down, say, $20 for a pay-per-view where you get to see me get executed in the Arizona desert by having a large block of like C4 or TNT exploded while it's like strapped to my body.
Oh, they put you in a Tannerite suit and someone hits you with a Barrett 50 cal from like a mile away.
Yeah, that's fine.
Yep. Just absolutely obliterated.
If the first shot misses, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, and then they play it cruel about it. And then they do a bunch of slow motion replays off like a Phantom HD camera, like the slow-mo guys, you know?
You've got the Japan style
cold steel
picture in picture of like the audience going, no, didn't get him that time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You'd have to be very brave to pick the cold steel execution method for your pay-per-view, Ben.
I think it'd be great. I've seen those guys go through a side of me.
Cut me in half like
could,
a pig carcass?
How fast do you think you'd die?
American-made katana? Chop me straight in half?
You know
I reckon we're talking like a 130-kilo American man from Ohio.
Yes.
Blasting you with a halberd that goes through your collarbone and like halfway down towards the opposite hip.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yes.
I think that
large man from Ohio swinging God's most perfect sharp weapon.
I think if you do agree to being cold steeled with a halberd as your pay-per-view mode of execution, you also get to shout a political message right before it hits you.
100%.
I think that's part of the deal.
Yeah,
if you choose
part of the
Tannerite
pay-per-view deal, that's what it's for.
Yeah, if you choose the Tannerite suit, you're just sealed in the suit and you're going to be gone in the blink of an eye, so you don't get any additional messaging out of it, you know? Yeah. But if you choose the halberd through the shoulder blade, the collarbone, I think you get to yell Free Palestine right beforehand.
100%. I think you should get to choose. So they've got like a full roster of cold steel guys and cold steel weapons, and you should get to choose which state and what weapon the 130-pound man in the like office clothes kills you with.
Yeah.
I want a guy from Delaware with one of those kind of floppy Chinese spears.
Mm, okay.
Are you thinking like Flying Tiger, hidden.
Flying Tiger.
Floppy
flying
spear.
Yep. Tiger.
Flying Tiger, floppy
hidden
spear.
Baby shoes.
Famous movie.
Flying shoes and hidden flask bracelet.
Yes.
Yes.
All right.
An 18-year-old in Nutbush, Tennessee, accidentally shot himself after reaching for a firearm in the dark during a power outage.
Oh, I need to be comforted. Bang.
Yeah. I'm scared.
This is a guy I want to kill me. The guy from Nutbush, Tennessee.
Yeah.
For my execution.
Nutbush. Pistol. And that is, for anyone curious, the Nutbush of the of the song
fell. Oh, City Limits.
Of the City Limits themselves.
The song that all Australian children know.
Yeah, for some reason that is very big in Australian culture.
I watched part of the Melbourne International Comedy Festival gala while we were in Tasmania because it was on the TV, and a guy, a comedian from another country, couldn't tell you which one, did a little bit of the Nutbush for probably the easiest, like, lowest effort to highest reward laugh you could possibly get from, like, an Australian audience. It's not even a joke. He just referenced that it exists.
Yeah, and everyone's like, woo!
2,000 people like, oh, my God, that's us!
To stuff we that we know about.
Yeah, Blue Light Disco. That.
Anyone else know about Vegemite? Everyone's just like pounding the chair in front of them. Fuck yeah! Yeah, that's us! I see myself reflected in your material. You perceive us! Yeah, fuck you, that guy. I'm taking you to task.
Yeah.
Write some proper material.
Yes.
Shoving my wife to the floor as I stand up and applaud.
I do know about it! Rushing to the front to shake his head. You've done it, sir.
Immediate fatal stampede caused by Vegemite reference.
And finally, a man in his 30s accidentally shot himself in the leg in a hospital car park in Livermore, California, while checking to see if his gun was unloaded before attending a, quote, minor appointment.
Turns out it wasn't.
Major appointment now.
Yeah. You go on updated, upgraded your appointment.
Yeah, that's so funny. Be like, well, safety first. May as well check. Bang.
Yep.
He's doing the classic looking down the barrel to see if there's any bullets in it.
How else would you see?
Yeah.
Hey, depending on what municipality your accidental clipping happened in, it might be a problem for the mayor. It's time for Mayor Watch. I just realized what this story is about, and I realized that could have been a much more more natural segue. Too late. Okay. You get the segue that you deserve.
Yes.
Yes. You accept the segue that you deserve.
Yes. The segue that deserve. You walk past is the segue that you accept.
Yes.
This is from the Journal and Topics in Illinois.
Oh, I love topics.
That is the name of the newspaper, the Journal and Topics.
Journals
and topics in this economy?
Journal, singular. So one journal, several topics.
One journal, yeah.
Yeah. Mayor, colon. His name is not Mayor Colton. Am I right? It's just it's Mayor Colton.
I'm hoping Colton gets in this year.
It's kind of hard to read this style of headline where it's attributing something to the... It just doesn't really carry over into voice. Here we go. Mayor colon. Argument earlier in day not related to accidental gun discharge.
Oh, that's nice.
So, nothing to see here.
Two separate events.
To clear that up. The Journal and Topics learned new facts after Niles Mayor George Alpagianus dropped a loaded shotgun in his office at Cappy's restaurant and the firearm discharged.
George Al Pacino did that?
Hang on, sorry. Yeah.
Shotgun?
Would you like to hear
I'm
that
gonna
again?
I'm going to try, like, there is a point in that sentence that I need again, but it's further back every time I think about it. So can we just have the sentence again?
The Journal and Topics learned new facts after Niles Mayor George Alpagianus dropped a loaded shotgun in his office at Cappy's restaurant and the firearm discharged.
So now we've got Journal and Topics and his facts. Office?
Yeah. So he's...
his office
I think he's
is
also
in
the
Cappy's
manager
restaurant.
At Cappy's restaurant. He's a mayor and
that's
a restaurateur.
That's mayor shit okay, is to be a restaurateur as well.
Right? That seems insanely like mayor shit to me.
Absolutely. Yeah. I bet he greets everyone that comes in.
Yeah, absolutely. Like,
you voting for me next time? No, just kidding.
Just kidding.
Free appetizers if you do, though.
If you don't, I've got a shotgun out back.
And it is loaded.
Yeah.
So they learned some new facts, including his disputing of claims that he retrieved the weapon to stop an argument between members of staff.
You retrieved your shotgun to break up an argument?
No, he's denying that.
He's denying
it. Oh, he did it. I'm related. Okay, never mind. Yeah.
He's saying, I didn't go get my shotgun when they were fighting.
I was grabbing the shotgun for fun.
Shotgun's such a funny gun to have.
In like a gun safe in your office, your restaurateur office, not your mayoral office.
Yeah.
Just shotgun. Got that in there just in case.
Like, if there's raiders, but they have it at the very most leather armor.
Yes.
You might need a shotgun.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, if they come in with steel armor, then I think the damage reduction is probably too great.
I hope this is the right cappies that I'm looking at. I think it is.
What's on the menu?
Cappies.
So it's Cappies American Grill. They've got a little, their restaurant name has a subtitle or a slogan, I guess. Flapjacks to nightcaps.
Oh,
like, yeah, so I guess they're open. That's nice.
From like early till late. Yeah. I guess that's pretty cool. I'm trying to pick who the mayor is from their staff photo on the front. Got to be the guy in like the light blue shirt with the tie. For sure. That looks like
mayor.
How are
we spelling Cappies?
K-A-P-P-Y. Ooh. Cappies Restaurant. Every day we cook our award-winning house-made soups, roast turkey breast for your turkey club, make all of our sauces from scratch, bake over 300 muffins for your bread basket, and bake our breakfast hams right here on site.
You know what? I don't think anyone ever wins an award for soup. Soup, critically unsung. Right.
What about at the soupies? Everyone's cleaning up at the soupies.
And they're using bread to do it.
You took home the big soupie?
There it is. What are they got on their breakfast menu? Is this good radio? Who could say? As he was holding and moving the small shotgun in his restaurant office the afternoon of Saturday, February 15th, Al Pajanis reportedly tried to grab and catch the gun, but dropped it, and it discharged.
Oh, you know he was doing some cool shit with it then.
They say holding, motherfucker.
Like, holding and moving is certainly one way to describe gun kata.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
You are holding the gun and you're moving around. You may be trying to do some cool, he was maybe trying to flip it. Maybe he was trying to do that cool shit that you see in movies sometimes where somebody holds the pump action in one
hand.
And just
does it by the pump without holding the...
He's just standing in front of a full-length mirror in his office. You can hear the screaming outside. He's not bothered by this at all. He's busy in there. I've got to try and get this down. How does Arnie do it so easy?
I think
the answer is because he's fucking huge, you know?
He had a trick shotgun.
one of the busboys in there, and he was practicing the move from Assault on Precinct 13 where the guy throws the shotgun to him and he just immediately fires it.
Yep.
But Butterfingers, the gun was too slippery. He dropped it.
That's why you can't have your fry cooks help you.
Yeah. Don't oil your guns. You've got to get some like talcum powder on your guns. You've got to keep your guns dry.
Yeah.
Al Pajanis refuted a claim received by the Journal that an argument between co-workers was taking place when he retrieved the gun. Rather, he told the Journal an argument between kitchen staff had occurred earlier in the day, but that it had nothing to do with the gun discharge. There was no mention of any staff argument in police reports or a memo related to the incident from Police Chief Mike Weitzel. The ricochet of shotgun pellets struck Al Pajanis in the leg and ankle.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Keep your gun dry.
That's right. Or at least keep your hands dry. Keep your gun slippery and your hands dry.
They should make a are you really sure you want to fire this gun feature.
Yeah, they should put voice control on the gun or something.
I have to hold down two buttons to use my whippersnipper.
Mm. Yeah. Yes.
Right.
Mine's in a really uncomfortable position, the second button. I guess it's on purpose.
On purpose.
Because it's so that you can't do it.
Yeah,
by
and
mistake.
That you're reminded
they
of the pain of labor.
They should put some kind of like safety switch on gun.
Yeah, like a safety or something. Just a little toggle.
Just a little extra flim-flam.
Yeah. But look, then if the Raiders came in and that was one more step between him blasting some level 2 Raiders in boiled leather armor.
Yeah, or them scoring a crit against you and you lose the next 3 turns. Yes. And it's pretty much over for you then if you've lost those turns.
What if you needed to hold down 3 buttons on the gun? So you've got to hold the gun in one hand and then you've got your other hand on the trigger. But you need like a friend or a fry cook to come in, hold down a third button, just so that you can get someone else's eyes on it.
Yes.
You know, get a little sanity check from like a friend or a coworker. Have somebody like your deputy mayor comes in.
Yes.
Yeah.
What are we doing? What are we pulling the trigger on here, sir?
You need to convince the deputy mayor that you really do need to blast that fool.
Yeah.
What if using your gun required you to kneel down in submission, and then a far more competent lady comes along, grabs the gun, lays it on your shoulder for steady aim.
Yes. And she because you know the, she's a better shot than you.
Because you know that she's a, it's not a weird thing.
No, you met her like an hour ago, but you just know this about her. You can tell.
That's right. You have a shorthand through violence that has developed because that is how you communicate in this world.
A lingua franca of violence. Yes.
Exactly. And then so she needs to fire.
Yes.
Yeah. Seems safer.
Another person.
Cracked the gun violence problem.
Another person who Alpagianus identified as a co-worker at Cappy's was also struck. Alpagianus was rushed to Advocate Lutheran General Hospital in Park Ridge and later released. He described his injury as, quote, a flesh wound, and said he was able to walk out of the hospital unassisted under his own power. I still don't want to be wounded in the flesh.
Yeah.
That's where that's the
hurt still kind of a wound.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, that kind of matters.
Yeah, like, I need that. I'm using that.
I got nerves and stuff in there as well.
Yeah. That's where most of my body is.
Ouchy.
Yeah. His co-worker refused transport from Morton Grove Paramedics, but was later treated and released at LGH. Well, it's because he didn't want to pay like
because he didn't want to pay for it because he works at the restaurant, at Cappy's restaurant.
And you probably don't. Like you're not giving them fucking healthcare,
you're not giving
him
healthcare, of course not.
No, and Alpagianus.
And you're like, hey, you're going to cover this. And he's like,
loading up the shotgun again.
Both Alpagianus and the police report said Alpagianus was taking the gun to get it serviced as there was rust on the barrel. So it was loaded. You were.
I was just trying to scrub the rust off. Yeah. I was cleaning it. Yeah.
The police report said Alpagianus retrieved the weapon from a locker in the office. It slipped from his hand, and when he grabbed it to catch it, the gun discharged. Police Chief Mike Whitehall said he received a phone call from Alpagianus at 3:50, lasting about 90 seconds.
Yeah.
A perfectly respectable amount.
Real quick. Done an oopsie over at the mayoral office / Kappa's bar diner. So.
Wouldn't call it official business, but nonetheless, you should probably check this out.
Embarrassing call to make.
Well, you notice he didn't call 911. He called through to the chief.
Called the chief.
He's got that.
He picked
privilege.
Up the red
got
phone.
The chief on the line.
Yeah.
Well, first he's got to go through the secretary, Barb.
Talk to the chief.
It's the mayor. I've got to talk to the chief.
You're going to want to put the chief on for this one. Quote, George stated something to this effect. He was extremely embarrassed about the situation. He keeps a shotgun in his office, Cappy's restaurant. He was moving the shotgun and accidentally discharged it, said Weitzel. Quote, he stated that he had struck himself in the ankle with pellets from the shotgun. I asked if he had called 911. He said he had not and that he had been too embarrassed to do so. Awesome.
Fair enough. Like probably just, can you not tell anyone?
Don't tell the papers.
I don't want to tell the discharger what I did.
Part of self-care is being gentle with yourself.
Everybody makes mistakes.
Everybody makes mistakes. Nobody's perfect. And you're going to get the help that you need if you admit that you shot yourself in the ankle with your shotgun.
I had a moment this morning when I was taking the dog for a piss where I was walking past this. There's a car that parks around the corner from me in a way where he parks his like work van in the driveway of an empty lot that's like a property that's been demolished. And he does it in a way where he completely blocks the footpath. I'm always grumbling to myself about it. Like, what if there was someone with a pram?
Yeah.
If there was someone in a wheelchair.
Yeah.
It's a dud move. Whatever. Doesn't matter. I'm never going to bring it up with him ever. I would never leave a note. I'm not psycho. But I was sort of squeezing past the front of his van, and I was like, oh, he's got a book on his dash. That's interesting. And the book was called What to Say When You're Talking to Yourself.
Yes.
Which, that's got to be like a being nice to yourself self-help book, right? What to say when you talk to yourself.
There's so much beauty in the world, isn't there? Everyone's got their own thing going on when they're parking.
Yep.
And everybody should do more self-care. That's definitely what we need.
Learn how to reverse the effects of negative self-talk and embrace.
What if you opened it up
positive?
Though, and each page was just one word, like idiot, dumb,
stupid, loser?
This is all about the power of positive self-talk. There's something heartbreakingly beautiful about this man keeping that in his car for his. I think he's a plumber or an electrician or something.
Yeah, like he's keeping that thing on you.
He's G'ing himself up in between jobs. He's like, no, I can be kinder to myself. I can treat myself with the respect that I know I would afford other people, except people with wheelchairs or prams. Fuck them.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's a given.
Don't respect them.
Some people should be less kind to themselves. That's
true.
That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, and we should get to make the decision about who is the right. I've always sort of thought of myself as the arbiter of who has imposter syndrome and who's just kind of like shit.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
I think you should run it by me. If you start to feel imposter syndrome, I'll tell you whether or not, like, I'm like, oh, my God, no, be kind to yourself. You are such a hardworking, lovely, giving person, and you're so good at what you do. Or, no, people are mad at you. You're not inventing that in your mind. They're mad at you because you suck.
Talking about you and how incompetent you are and how much you suck and how you're just kind of shit to be around.
Like, that's a running joke about you behind your back. You ever see people like kind of furtively trying to change subjects when you walk into the break room?
Mm.
They're talking about you have body odor and you don't know. No one wants to tell you. It's too hard.
The problem with the wide take-up of imposter syndrome is that it's kind of making a lot of people overlook the fact that some of you are imposters.
Some of you are 100% imposters.
And that's for us to decide.
That's right. Just describe your life circumstance. Actually, we're going to need like a 360 review.
Yes.
I'm going to need you to ask the people above you, the people below you, the people either side of you. We're going to want a lot of references, and we'll come back and we'll tell you whether or not you're just kind of like a dud.
We will let you know.
Yeah. And like you, no one's irreparably a dud, I don't think.
I think many people can be undudded.
Yeah. We can undud you wholesale.
We'll give you the source.
Yeah. Well, knowing that you're a dud is the first step on the path to getting juice.
Yeah.
I think. Because right now, you know, like you know it. Like I'm not telling you anything you don't know. Like you kind of.
You know it. You're rizzless. You're juiceless.
Like you walk into a room and you don't feel like you're elevating it, right? Like you know that. Like that's not. It's not bad. It's not moral fault. But like you can just tell that, you know, sometimes like your friends will walk into a room and everyone just goes, oh my God. Chris is here.
Yeah, it's the friends we like more.
Yeah.
Calling a family meeting to talk to my wife about needing access to our savings account because an Australian podcast is going to undud me.
They're going to undud me and then juice me up.
Yeah, we're going to give you the juice, the sauce, and it's all on the road to becoming goated.
And you just need to pay us a little bit more money.
Like a dud, am I? Honey, like I have juice?
Yeah.
Mm. They said they're going to give me a rizjection.
You can give me a dudectomy.
Dudectomy, then the rizjection. Yeah.
Yeah. You got to clear it out before you fill it in. You know, it's like doing a restoration.
There's a couple of weeks in between.
Water fills the hole that has been carved in the rock.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yes. And also sauce as well. It takes a little while.
Sauce and juice. Yeah.
We will be looking at your hole. Yes.
I think we're giving you a hole.
Where the juice goes.
I think, to put the
juice
in.
We're not looking at any existing holes. We're not looking at any listeners' holes.
No, we don't do that. You pay us like a lot.
A lot. Like everybody's got a price. Everyone's got a price.
Yeah, unless we decide that you are, in fact, majorly dudded.
Yeah. There's got to be some other cause to this. Can I see your holes real quick?
Yeah, we're going to have to scope the hole, I think, on this one.
We usually don't do this, but
it's not that one.
Today I'm feeling we've got to scope that hole.
This hole's okay.
Yeah. No cap.
What are we talking about?
Weitzel said he received a text from Al Pajardas about an hour later.
The mayor.
Complimenting the officers on their professionalism and handling of the situation. Weitzel's memo said officers investigated whether Al Pajardas had a valid firearms owner's identification card, or FOID, confirming he did. Weitzel said he also contacted Moreton Grove Mayor Dan DiMaria to inform him of the incident and that Niles Police Chief Joseph Romano was also aware of the incident.
Oh, he had to tell
another mayor?
He had to multicast
so Italian?
Mayors on the mayor channel?
There can't be another mayor up the chain, right?
Oh, senior mayor?
But like, there's not a hierarchy of mayors.
No.
You're the mayor of your own dominion, I would have thought.
The mayor's getting in trouble and saying, sorry, I got to ask my mayor.
Yeah.
My hands are tied.
I just mayor this small area. I got to ask the guy, the mayor upstairs.
Well, there's mayors and there's mayors.
Yeah.
Right?
I am the mayor of the east wing of this municipal building.
Sort of a meta-mayor.
It's not a real job. It does. Like, what is a mayor?
Yeah. What does a mayor do? Cut ribbons?
Yeah. Kiss babies.
Do we need that? I think we can get rid of mayors at this point.
Yeah. I can use scissors.
We have outlived the usefulness of mayors.
I'm genuinely perplexed by how they chose which other mayor to inform. Because I assume Niles and Morton Grove are neighboring municipalities. And like, shit, we got to tell one other mayor.
That's the mayor of their sister city in Peru.
That's right.
There's been an incident in their sister city.
Get Arequipa on the phone.
The office in the diner. Yeah.
Do you think when they pick sister cities, they've got to be on roughly even footing?
Brisbane's
sister cities, like I think Osaka or Kyoto might be one of our sister cities.
That sounds right.
Ours is Nara in Japan.
Oh, that's really nice. You guys should
it's a nice pairing, Canberra and Nara.
Yeah. You should get some of those horrible deer that bite you.
Yes, dog shit deer from Nara.
The disrespectful bowing deer.
Disrespectful deer.
I could go some disrespectful deer.
Oh my God, we got...
Too many sister cities. I think it should cost you $1 billion to have a sister city, I think.
Oh, sorry, I was wrong about that. So we've got Abu Dhabi, Auckland, Daejeon, South Korea.
I like Shenzhen.
Too many.
Oh, we got Shenzhen?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's nice. Special economic zone or whatever.
Zone in China with like, there you go, 18 million people.
Yeah.
I think one sister's
much bigger.
Oh, yeah, one giant.
One big sister that could squash the other sister.
Any sister city that you have, I think we should be committed to building fast rail between them.
It should mean more. I don't
think you should just be able to say, sister cities.
Like, so...
Do you think if I went to Nara and I was like, I'm from Canberra, they'd be like, oh my God, my long lost brother.
Yeah. Sorry, I got to get something off my mind and then Ben, you could go. But we are in that picture of the two lesbians. Brisbane's the one getting held up against the wall.
Oh, the other one. Yeah. Something oddly compelling about that image. And I've never been able to...
I don't know what it is. I put my finger on it.
Yeah.
I'll do some research into it and see. Maybe there's some more pictures. Maybe they tell a story, you know?
Yeah.
I get the feeling that there's something else going on there.
Some sort of subtext.
What is this from? Anyone know where this image is from?
I found out where that image is.
It says something to me, though.
I feel like that relationship needs to have some like perks that it gives you. Like Bundaberg has two sister cities, Nanning in China and Setsu in Japan. Like if a guy from Bundaberg is like, fucking, I'm going to Setsu, he should be like, it's definitely his first time leaving the country.
You should be able to work there.
Homestay.
Yeah.
Like, oh my God, you are, I'm not going to do it, but imagine if you Japanized the word Bundaberg. Lucy, they should put him up in a house, like, and just sort of show him their ways.
Yeah,
like I don't know. I feel like I'd do the reverse. You know, if anyone comes to Brisbane from Auckland, I'll sort of teach them the ways of Queensland, Australia.
Yeah,
I think that's only fair.
How do you pick like a sister city? Is it just like whatever's left over? At this point,
it's got to be mutual, right? So, like, both parties have to have been like, fuck, who's left on the list?
Yeah.
That someone in Setsu, Japan, was like, Bundaberg, that sounds exciting.
I feel drift compatible with Bundaberg.
Ah, Toowoomba. Yeah. Sounds exciting.
Do you think there's a pair of sister cities out there somewhere who were like the two cities who got picked last for the team?
Oh, the dud cities.
Just two dud cities paired up. Who are the worst cities that we could pair up with each other?
Yeah.
Mackay. And?
What the fuck? Campbelltown, as in Campbelltown in New South Wales, so I guess like on the outskirts of Sydney, basically, has a sister city of Coonamble, Australia. It has a sister city within... Wait, so does... Canterbury, Bankstown, It's sister cities with Broken Hill. They're both in New South Wales.
Seeds scatter to the wind, they land not so far from the tree.
Theo, Mackay has three sister cities.
Yeah.
Dubbo is sister cities with Newcastle. Dubbo and Newcastle.
In what way?
In what way?
They're just waving to each other. Hey, sister.
That's dog shit.
It's more like neighbor cities.
Yeah.
That's so fucking dumb.
Yeah.
Wow, Hobart and L'Aquila, Italy.
Yeah, Hobart's only got two. I was just reading that. And Yaizu, Japan.
That sounds exciting. Ipswich and Hyderabad. Exciting. That's fun.
No
That's
way.
So much fun.
It's silly.
Hey, this episode, we've done a lot of sort of observational comedy. There's another person out there who does observational comedy. It's time for Dave Hughes Watch. I've got to stop scrolling this list of sister cities.
Yeah, I know. It's actually, it's not even interesting, but I can't stop.
Radio?
Interesting.
Do you ever feel like your brains are too finely tuned to release dopamine at any, like, acceptance of information?
Can you expand on that?
Like, you go, you see a piece of data and you're like, okay, well, I enjoy that on some sort of, like, brain level. Like, browsing the Lord of the Rings wiki.
Yeah.
For example. Okay.
You're saying like you do or you don't enjoy that?
No, no, like, I do. I'm wondering whether anyone else feels that.
Oh, I love
just the input of information alone, regardless of what the information is.
Yeah, like I'm at like 10:30 at night and I should be asleep because it's an hour past my bedtime. And it, but it's like, oh, Flamimblad was Dorag's half brother.
Yeah.
Anyone else browsing in the Wikipedia at night?
You and your 40K stuff where you don't play.
I don't play 40K.
You have interest in doing so, but absolutely you are like absorbing probably the equivalent of reading like the rise and fall of ancient Rome, but in stuff about a fictional universe that you do not.
Well, it actually has a lot of parallels to ancient Rome.
To answer your question, Theo, yes, I will find myself doing things like reading through the interconnected backstories of Marvel Comics characters from the 60s and 70s who I've never seen in a comic, and also I don't read the comics and I'm not going to read the comics.
No, but at some
but I feel like I'm populating that section of the lore. And you know what it is? It's like it's like becoming aware of something and then having your brain do like the fog of war thing, uncovering sections of the map.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and just going, oh, good, I've plotted some of that now.
At some point, I have to accept that my brain has tricked me into creating connections between synapses, that it loves it. It's a dirty little piggy for new pathways being formed.
Right, and who do you think of yourself as?
Well, I wish I was my brain, but unfortunately at this point I have to assume that I am some sort of
separate entity.
I exist beyond the fourth wall.
You exist like above the brain or inside underneath the brain?
I feel like we're kind of we're sharing power.
Yeah.
Sharing agreement.
But your brain has its own agenda that it's sort of silently working on. It is manipulating you to achieve its foul ends.
Yeah. I mean, it's not me.
Right.
It's not me doing this.
But you're connected. We're like a Cartesian dualism thing. Yeah.
Absolutely. The brain is not the mind, is not the self.
I was thinking this is extremely Cartesian.
This is totally Cartesian.
This was fucking, just a light lit up in my head and went, Cartesia.
Well, some of us went to university.
Yeah. That's right. Or did you?
Yeah.
Philosophy.
Did you? I still don't know anything about Lucy, so
she has a degree in philosophy.
Learning new things about each other all the time.
Yeah.
When do we do that?
Two of us went to university, and we're checking in on the mental health status of those
learning
two people.
A lot about me.
Yeah,
you share a lot about yourself.
Lucy's closed off.
I'm a closed book.
Mm. Yeah. I think that's what people kind of keep coming back to the podcast for.
It's
like, I want to learn one
that.
New fact.
I just want to learn
Lucy.
A new
yeah,
fact.
When are they
going to
drop a
this
lore episode?
Yeah. All Lucy lore episode 500.
Oh, no.
It's going to be like a this is your life.
yeah.
style thing. Going to talk to all the people around you. Get your mum on the show.
Yeah.
Great gear.
We dig up the password to your Neopets account.
If you can, let me know. I'd love to log back in.
I'd love to see how my Chumbi is going.
You know what, I've been playing some Neopets games sometimes. You can still just log on there and play like Flash games. It's super fun.
What do you mean? You're using present tense. When was the last time you did this?
Oh, no, like they 3 or 4 days ago.
That's fucked. Mirka Chase?
Mirka Chase. I've been playing hella Mirka Chase just in bed on my laptop.
So when
Mirka
I said
Chase.
That, there was like a COD hit marker came up.
Yeah. Red triangle, yeah.
All right, so this is 5 questions with Dave Hughes.
Thank God.
They're at the end of a profile of his house, his big, beautiful house that he has. This is on the website Domain.
I just want to say to any Australians in our audience, you and me together, at some point in our lives, we won't have to hear about Dave Hughes anymore.
Because he will die.
That could be anything.
One day he'll be dead.
Yeah.
One day.
Do something.
Does it ever just hit you? You're sitting there and it just you're just sideswiped. You're T-boned by the absolute reality that one day Dave Hughes will not be with us.
One day you won't have to see any more commercials with Dave Hughes in them. You won't have
one
to...
time everything an ancient changes. King asked for a great sage for 5 words that will always make anyone both very happy and very sad. Dave Hughes too shall pass.
Yep. No, I don't think I was saying it in a sad way.
Question number one. What's the one item in your home you'd save first above all else? Oh, actually, just before we get into this, I want to say that we did a charity stream once where Dave Hughes very kindly called in support of the money that we were raising to help us out. So we're saying all this in the spirit of love. I don't want Dave Hughes to die.
We operated on some sort of parody. Some level of irony, I don't even know what it was, around one of his classic jokes for about 4 days, I think, at that point. We had been sending ourselves insane regarding that joke, and he still called in and gave us that joke. So
yeah, I don't want to push back too hard, Ben, but you do say that he very kindly called in, whereas in my memory he more sort of called up in a reluctant and defeated way after a series of stand-up comedians that we know just kind
after
of
being absolutely
him,
harassed by everyone
harassed
we
him
know.
With his with like his personal phone number until he just kind of eventually did the thing in a very perplexed way.
Actually fuck him.
Fuck you. I actually think
joke belongs to us now.
We got a better line read of that joke from, I believe it was Ben Russell
Russell. Incredible.
That was so for charity. Thank you.
And then someone
Dave
got
Hughes.
Rebecca Black to do it on Cameo.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Yeah, that's pretty good too.
Yeah. Paul F. Tompkins doing it.
Yep. All did it Scott with Ludlam. A bit more gusto than Dave fucking Hughes.
Yeah.
He's got his millions, hasn't he?
Yeah, he's got all that glasshouse money.
We're punching up. It's fine.
That
we
big,
kind
beautiful
of can't,
land.
It's very hard for us to punch down
it's
not because of our status.
No, we did get that email.
We did.
Yeah, we did.
Yeah, working as a bartender has really put me out of touch with the common man.
Right, folks. If you feel that we have punched down at you,
you're pretty low because we're already pretty low.
List your specific grievance in your email, please, so we can narrow it down.
Yeah.
Are you angry about that time that we talked about?
Fill in the blank.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's not litigate all of the times people have been compelled enough to write into us to tell us that we're horrible people. I don't enjoy it when it happens. It doesn't feel nice.
It really does send me for a spin for a couple of days.
It makes me panicky.
And then in the end, when we find out it's about something that could not have predicted.
Yeah. Sometimes it's something where you're like, oh, okay, I'm not a bad person. And other times you've got a couple of weeks of introspection. Like, are we mean?
Are we mean?
Are we bad people?
No.
It makes me feel good when it happens. It makes me feel like I matter.
Mm.
Yeah, it actually makes me feel good. I think me and Andrew are just more evil.
Yeah. I threw my whole day off yesterday. It was horrible. I was flighty all day. And if you're listening to this episode just to see if you hit landed, congratulations.
Yeah.
You did congrats. It. You did it.
I felt kind of bad all day.
Ben's been kicking around his mansion.
That's right.
Just goes to show people are shitting on Dave Hughes all the time, and he's just out there, you know.
Water
he keeps rolling
off
every day.
Back.
We get
he
water off Dave Hughes's back.
We get one angry email like every 2 years.
Yeah,
and we talk about it for a couple of days.
It's not even many.
Yeah, but the debuff still overlaps in a 2 year period. I'm feeling both of them right now. What's the one item in your home you'd save first above all else? My iPad, because it's got my journal in it, where I journal every day, so I know exactly what I've done. I can go back in time and go.
Get it on the cloud, Dave.
Dave Hughes.
I assume it's still, he probably doesn't know, because he's not like a tech guy, he's more of a performer, but it's probably
in
the cloud.
Sort of like an everyman, yeah.
I wonder if he's got an app for it, whether he's doing it with the Apple Pencil or whether he's just going into the Notes app. And
I wonder what he's journaling about. I'd love to read Dave Hughes' journal.
Oh, Dave Hughes' journal?
I bet he's hard
peek
on himself
inside
in there.
The mind.
Yeah, I bet he's saying really mean shit to himself.
What Dave Hughes should say when Dave Hughes is talking to himself.
Yeah.
That's the book we should write for this man. Hey, be kind to yourself, Dave Hughes. Favorite spaces in your home and why? I'm going to go with the balcony next to my bedroom because the kids just don't come up there, which is great.
I was going to say, three kids. He's got three kids, but he's gone for the iPad.
Yeah. These days, people are so addicted to their screens.
Oh, their screens?
So true.
I get some peaceful time and can hang out among the treetops and the breeze. I love a breeze. See, that's beautiful. That's that's not a screen.
Us.
No,
you can't put a breeze on a screen.
No,
he's probably taken his iPad out there, though.
Yeah, that's true.
Journaling. Love
iPad
breeze.
And a breeze.
He's journaling.
While you're recording that moment, you're not in the moment. You're thinking about the moment. You're not living the moment.
Just try to live in the moment.
Practice
I also
mindful.
Think he
not me.
Dave Hughes.
I think he not wasn't being either. Honest, and he wants to take his iPad because he's up to like level 150 in Angry Birds 2.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's like, I can't let that streak die.
I think my brain is living in the moment. I'm not, though.
Yeah,
because okay.
Well, your brain is sort of alerting you to all the hazards and all the things that are currently happening in the moment.
And things to be afraid of,
Yeah, yes, I'm rotating
about.
Cubes.
Yeah. The oldest thing in your home? Me, probably.
Yeah.
I was going to say, easy jokes. Easy jokes. Me.
There's a piano there that's really old. That came from my wife's parents. I want to put it out into hard rubbish, but I'm not allowed to.
That's
first
valid,
off
actually.
Of that, I was like, Isn't this nice? Soft aside.
Oh, I'm bloody
to
sick
Hughes.
Of looking at it. Get it out of
can't
here.
Stand it.
I saw that ad Apple did where they crushed all the instruments and beautiful analog technology into an iPad, and I thought, yes.
I want that iPad.
I want that iPad. It's got a piano in it.
Number four, the newest thing in your home, the air fryer. My God, it's the best invention since sliced bread, isn't it?
Got air fryer content in there.
Yeah.
Cool.
Even Dave Hughes has an air fryer. Even the richest and most powerful man in Australia loves his air fryer.
Loves his air fryer.
The
I bet he's cooking
king.
In there. I bet he's cooking everything in there.
Well, he's got young kids, so he's probably just like, you know, chucking dinosaur nuggets or whatever
dinosaur
the fuck.
Dinosaur nuggets in there, yeah.
Yeah, and it's healthier because it uses special air.
It's got special air, yeah.
Special air. And lastly, tell us your best joke. The joke that people always remember is one I did years ago.
Yes.
I'm not proud of it, but it's mine.
Yes.
I bought a bag of snakes alive the other day.
He didn't.
I opened
he
them
didn't.
Up and they were all dead. Yes. Someone should have put air holes in the bag. They could have grown up to be killer pythons.
Yes.
Classic humor.
Still hits.
Do you think that the Bunta Vista stream and him being harassed so often about this joke has had an effect on Dave
that's
Hughes?
Why the resignation
I
comes
think
from.
We might I don't think
like,
we're solely responsible
is this
for
joke?
It. I do think we kind of might have reinforced it a little tiny bit. We strengthened that pathway.
I think
in his
we
brain.
Brought it back.
We might have
I
put that joke on a peg in his head.
Yeah.
Like he's got a place to hang it now and it's hundreds of people harassing it.
He added an extra room in his mind palace, in his beautiful memory palace to store that joke. I also can't tell from the format of the article whether the two-word sentence classic humor is part of his quote or a response, like a little cap at the end from the person that's written the interview. Both are funny to me. For some writer at Domain to just say classic humor. Or for Dave.
Classic Hughes, jokes.
Now that's his humor.
Own joke. That's classic humor. Now that's an example of humor. You might find that in the Wikipedia page for humor.
I looked up humor in the dictionary. There was the transcript of the entire Snakes Alive joke. Yeah. He needs to explain what a killer python is too for the joke to work, I think. Are they still selling those motherfuckers?
Yeah, I believe the killer python's still available for sale. Yeah, they're still selling the killer pythons.
America, you've got to understand that it sucks. And it's
not good.
It is a very bad joke. That was definitely an episode of the podcast. Punta Vista, thank you so much for joining us. If you want to get in contact with us, you can email us at puntavista@gmail.com or mailbag@puntavista.com. They both go to the same place.
They do.
We would love to hear from you unless it's in any way negative. Even if to you it feels constructive, it's going to make us spiral.
Even if you're just joking with us, don't joke with us about being mean to us. Only we joke about being mean to you, about being a dud and stuff. We say those jokes. Don't do that to us,
though. It's a joke. Don't take it so seriously. Yeah, ease up. And if you're making a joke to us, fuck you, okay?
Words have power. We don't get it.
Words have meaning. We have been doing this
like a knife.
Choose kindness.
8 years.
Everyone's fighting a battle you know nothing about.
Every podcaster is struggling.
And look, here's the thing. Some people's battles are more important than other people's battles.
Yeah.
Yes.
You know? Be humble.
Yes. Yeah. God. Theo is giving us the wrap it up signal. thank you so much for listening. We might see you on the bonus episode, maybe. Patreon.com/Buena Vista. That's 2 episodes a week of top quality A-grade Australian podcasting. We'll see you next week. Stay safe out there. Bye.
Bye. Bye. Bye. It's so